Shchit Buddha Swastyam Niva Aste. Svapauka Putro Bhagavat Prapanna. Ya Krishna Padam Kita Marga Pumsushu.
Ya Krishna Padam Kita Marga Pumsushu.
Achestata Prema Vipinna Darya.
Achestata Prema Vipinna Darya.
Kachchit.
Kachchit.
Whether.
Whether.
Buddha.
Buddha.
Very learned. Swasti.
Swasti.
Well.
Well.
Anamiva.
Anamiva.
Faultless.
Faultless.
Aste does exist. Svapauka
Putra,
the son of Svapauka, Akrura, Bhagavat, regarding the personality of Godhead, Prapanna, surrendered, Ya, one who. Krishna, the Lord, Pada Ankita, marked with footprints, Marga, path, Pamsushu, in the dust, Achestata, exhibited, Prema, Vibhinna, lost in transcendental love. And Darya, mental equilibrium. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Svapauka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul, surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. Translation responsively. Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Svapauka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul. Surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. Purport. When Akrura came to Vrindavan in search of Krishna, he saw the footprints of the Lord on the dust of Nandagram and at once fell on them in ecstasy of transcendental love. This ecstasy is possible for such a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna. Such a pure devotee of the Lord is naturally faultless because he is always associated with the supremely pure personality of Godhead. Constant thought of the Lord is the antiseptic method for keeping oneself free from the infectious contaminations of the material qualities. The pure devotee of the Lord is always in company with the Lord by thinking of Him. Yet in the particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya displayed the typical example of transcendental ecstasy, as we can understand from the life of this incarnation of God. Omagyan timadandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuri militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya kadati swapadontikam Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Akrura is a famous person in the pastimes of Krishna. He came to on behalf of Kamsa. He was the uncle of Krishna, and he came on behalf of Kamsa to bring Krishna back to Mathura. So the devotees in Vrindavan, they don't even like to hear his name. Because he was the one who brought Krishna or took Krishna away from them. Actually, he was favorable to Krishna. He's a devotee. There was no animosity. But at that time in history, as happens many times, the devotees are forced to do things by tyrant rulers, by demoniac persons. The same thing happened in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they both had to become the Prime Minister and the Treasurer of the government of the Muslims. Because basically it was told to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, the Nawab Hussein Shah, he said, I'll kill everyone. I'll kill the Brahmins, I'll kill the cows, I'll kill the Vaishnavas, I'll smash the temples if you two do not come into my government. So they were forced to come into the government. They didn't have a choice. Not that they wanted to do that service, but they didn't have any choice. So similarly, Akrura, he did not want to bring the devotees from, or take Krishna from the devotees in Vrindavan, but there was no choice in a sense, because Kamsa was so powerful at the time, he could not be defied like that. And also Akrura, he understood who Krishna actually was, and he understood that Kamsa would be killed by Krishna, so he understood the situation. But it was a very difficult service to do because he had to take Krishna away from the residence of Vrindavan. And that was the most difficult service. To separate the devotees from Krishna or to separate the devotees from others, that is the most difficult service. Just like in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that in the material world there is Durga. Durga means Maya, personified. Durga means the wife of Shiva. So she is Maya. She is the personification of Maya. So she comes to Lord Chaitanya in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya and she says, I don't like my service. Because my service is to keep everyone away from you. Because the duty of Maya in the material world is to keep everyone away from Krishna. So that's not a very nice service for a devotee. That we have. That's her job. Maya is meant to test all of us, to keep us away from Krishna. Right? And if Krishna allows that to happen because he wants to build up our sincerity or the strength of our conviction. Just like one time, it was 1972, I think it was. It was like a long time ago. And Prabhupada was giving Vyasa Puja, I think it was one of the first big Vyasa Pujas in ISKCON, in New Vrindavan. And devotees came from all over America to be in New Vrindavan with Prabhupada. And then he did his Vyasa Puja, and he was giving his class. And at the end, he said, any questions? And one devotee, I don't think it was even a devotee, but like someone who was coming along, like a congregational kind of member. And then he said to Prabhupada, put his hand up, and he said, why is Maya so strong? Because Maya is keeping all of us away from Krishna. And Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are weak. We are not sincere. Maya cannot touch us, actually. But we're not sincere. So we easily, a little bit of Maya comes in front of us and immediately we forget Krishna. Because we're not sincere yet. Our devotion has been covered so much that, just a little bit of Maya. One girl who's beautiful or one man who's a little handsome and immediately we're just forgetful of Krishna. Right? Or whatever it is. Maya comes in so many different forms. So Maya is extremely powerful and we are not sincere. So Maya is building up our sincerity. So she says to Lord Chaitanya, Navadvip Dharmahatman, she says, it's very difficult for me because that's my service. I have to keep everyone away from you. I don't like the service. So she says to Lord Chaitanya, I don't like the service. Can you give me another service? Can I do something else? And Lord Chaitanya says, he says, no, actually in the spiritual world, you are Purnamasi, or you are Proda Maya. She's called in Navadvip. Her service in the spiritual world is to bring everyone to Krishna. Because the whole spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, it operates on Yoga Maya, which means that everyone gets covered so they forget that Krishna is God. So that they can identify that Krishna is my son, my friend, or my lover. So then they forget that Krishna is God. So that Yoga Maya allows that to happen or covers everyone so that the devotees can come closer to Krishna. Because if they remember that Krishna is God, then it inhibits the relationship. Just like you see in the 10th canto in the Krishna book. You see Mother Yashoda, she looks into Krishna's mouth and she sees the whole universe. So when she sees the whole universe, then suddenly she thinks, oh, this is something more than my son. Right? And then after a few minutes, then she becomes covered by Yogamaya again. Why? So that she can then identify in Vatsalya Bhav. Because Krishna doesn't want her to forget that she is his mother. So Yogamaya covers the devotees in the spiritual world to bring them closer to Krishna. In the material world, she expands as Mahamaya, Durga, to keep everyone away from Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said, don't worry, that in the spiritual world, your service is perfect. You bring everyone closer to me. So so that's how she copes with her service in the material world, because she understands that, you know, she's keeping everyone away from Krishna, but actually in the spiritual world, her service is much more sweet. So Akrura, he brought Krishna away from all of the devotees in Vrindavan. So it wasn't pleasant when he had to do that. There's descriptions of what it was like. If you go into the 10th canto, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan. Anyone remember what chapter that is? When he comes? Late 30s, I think, isn't it? Late 30s, because 46 is the song of the bumblebee, when Krishna comes back. When the bumblebee comes back. Actually, that is Krishna who comes back as the bumblebee. So I think it's late 30s, I think it is, that Krishna is taken away by Akrura. And it describes, in the Bhagavatam itself, and also in the writings of the Acharyas, because they write about this, how difficult it was. So Akrura had to do the most difficult thing. It was the most difficult service, because everyone was completely distraught. Everyone was completely disturbed. Akrura, when he first came into Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, he showed us how to enter Vrindavan. What is the mood of someone who enters into the Vrindavan, or into the Holy Dham? So he was coming into Vrindavan on the chariot. He was in Mathura, and he came across, so it would have only taken a day or so on the chariot, not even a day. So he was going across, and then when he came, he saw Krishna's footprints on the ground, in the dust of Vrindavan. Now, the devotees, when they walk through Vrindavan, whenever they see Krishna's footprints, they won't step on the footprints, because they have so much attachment to Krishna, and they see his lotus footprint on the ground, wherever he walks. They won't walk on the footprints because they don't want to destroy it. They're so attached to Krishna. They won't even walk on his footprint. And on his footprint, underneath his foot, you'll see there are many auspicious symbols like that. So they see all those symbols imprinted into the earth. So when Akrura came into Vrindavan, he had so much love for Krishna. And he was actually happy. You know, Kamsa was sending him. And he knew he had to bring back Krishna to Mathura. And he knew he had to do a difficult service. But he was in ecstasy because he was getting to see Krishna. Because most of the time he was in Mathura. So imagine, Krishna's only a day away. And most of the time he can't get to him. He can't see him. And then finally he has an excuse to go and see Krishna in Balaram. So then as he comes in, he has so much love that when he sees the footprints, he dives off the chariot. And Prabhupada said, this is how we should enter Vrindavan. Right? He jumps off the chariot and he starts rolling in the dust, rolling in the footprints, just rolling and rolling. Right? This is the dust that has touched the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. So he's in complete ecstasy. And Prabhupada said, this is how you enter Vrindavan. When you go into Vrindavan, you should be in this mood that now I am going into Krishna's land. And in Vrindavan, it is said, each of the holy dharms has a specific methodology to enter into that dharma. When we go to the Mayapur, it is said you enter Mayapur most deeply through Nam Sankirtan, by chanting the holy name. It's very special to chant the holy name in Mayapur. It's special to chant the holy name anywhere because of the Yuga Dharma. But Mayapur is the central headquarters of the Yuga Dharma. It is where the Sankirtan movement began. So when you chant the holy name in Mayapur, it is extremely powerful. And then, when you go to Jagannath Puri, it is said the way that you become purified is by taking Jagannath Mahaprasad. So you take the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. And just by taking the prasad, you become extremely purified. You have to honor. And there's a whole system of honoring Jagannath's prasad when you go to Jagannath Puri. Very strict system. You're not even allowed, you know, normally when we take prasad, like we go upstairs, we sit on mats, right? You know, and Prabhupada actually said that. He said, devotees must sit on mats in the temple and meditate. But in Jagannath Puri, it is considered that the local tradition, it is considered an offense to sit on a mat when you're taking Jagannath's prasad. Because you should be as low as possible. Because the Lord himself has manifested in the form of his prasad. It is non-different from him. And everyone treats it there as being non-different from Jagannath. It is the same. The prasad is the same. You know, we have to treat the prasad as we treat the deity. It's the same. If you disrespect prasad, and you see in Jagannath Puri and around India, but in Jagannath Puri particularly, you see a lot of lepers, people who have leprosy, and they don't have fingers, and you know they're suffering from leprosy. And it's understood in Jagannath Puri, these people have committed an offense to Jagannath's prasad in the previous life, and then they take birth as a leper. So this shows us how particular, and Prabhupada was very particular about how we treat prasadam. Right? It should not be spilt on the ground, it should not be disrespected, never touch it with your foot, never leave it on your plate. Right? Whatever's on your plate, you honor that. And you don't just go and scrape it off. You know, it's very particular how we treat the prasad of the Lord. And in Jagannath Puri, it is even more revered. Everyone treats it with great, great respect. You know, I've seen when they cook it in clay pots, and then they bring the clay pots, and then I've seen one of the pandas, when he brought the clay pot, accidentally, when he was unpacking, he touched the clay pot with his foot, and immediately he offered obeisances to the prasad, like immediately. So the mood is very special. So by taking the prasad in Jagannath Puri, you get purified. In Jagannath Puri, you should take a lot of Jagannath Prasad, which is, it's very austere service, taking lots of Jagannath Prasad. I remember in 1994, we went to Puri, and we were there with Umapati Swami, Mother Jagatarini, Bhakti Mark Swami, and we're doing a parikram. And in the evenings, we were going to one life member's house, which was just down the beach from where we're staying, and we're having an evening program. And then the evening program would finish about 8:30, like that, you know. We'd have Kirtan and then Maharaj, and Jamuna Devi was there as well. A lot of senior advanced devotees were there. So they were all there, and then they were giving classes, so we'd have class. And then after class, then we'd have a feast. So we were brahmacharis at the time. We were very staunch, very sense-controlled. So we'd already had breakfast, we had lunch, and then in the evening we got there, and we didn't eat so much in the evening. So then, you know, we were being brahmacharis, very staunch, and the devotees were coming, and they were just serving Jagannath's Mahaprasad onto our plate. Too much, too much, too much. Like that. So I was saying, hey, not so, no. We've got to control our senses. We have to get up for Mangalati. We have to chant our japa, all this. So first night, you know, we were saying, as I was serving, we were saying, stop. But they put so much on our plate, and we ate so much. And the next morning I woke up, and it was like a bit of indigestion. I woke up not feeling so good, like, you know, hadn't digested so well. Because I was, like, offending Jagannath's prasad. I was saying, hey, stop. No. I don't want the Supreme Lord's mercy. I don't want the Supreme Lord's mercy. That's effectively what I was saying. So then the next day we came again, and we had the evening program, and then they started serving us, just, like, putting it on our plates like that. And we were so, like, exhausted, We just surrendered. We just said, okay, just bring whatever you want. Just bring. Just give us like that. And we ate so much. Like, we stuffed ourselves. I remember Umapati Swami, he said at the end of it, he said, I'm stuffed. You know, so much prasad. And what they did, we had a kirtan down the beach, and then when we got to the house, they were standing outside the house before we even got into the house for a program, and they had big clay pots, this big, like huge clay pots full of sweet rice, which had been offered to Nrisingadev in Jagannath Puri. If you go to the Nrisinga temple, it's near the Gundicha temple, and Lord Chaitanya danced in front of that deity of Nrisingadev. He's millions of years old. He said that Nrisingadev deity is from Satya Yuga. It's millions of years old. So, very powerful deity. Big pots of sweet rice. There's like five pots. You know, it's about 100 devotees or something. So we were, and you weren't allowed to go into the house until you had some sweet rice. So everyone was just surrendering. Everyone's just like, whatever. You know, we're so full now, it doesn't matter. You know, so even before we got in, we had to take the sweet rice. I came last because all the devotees were doing kirtan. So I was chanting my japa. I was coming like behind everyone else. And when I got there, I was the last one. Everyone turned around and they said, give him the most. You know, because devotees joke around. So I couldn't even get in until I had like five cups. So I was like, okay, just surrender. I don't care, just surrender. I was actually enjoying it. So I just had like five cups of sweet rice. It was before the program. Then we had the program. And afterwards, they stuffed us. So the next morning, I thought, that's it. I thought next morning's like going to be like a disaster. You know, but because we did not resist the Lord's prasadam, we took it in the right mood. As much as they gave, we ate it with gusto, with enthusiasm. Next morning, 100% digested. I woke up clear. You know, my head was clear. You know, Mangaladi time, right? Woke up early, clear, chanted my japa very nicely. Everything was fine. So when you go to Jagannath Puri, you take the Lord's prasad. Right? And Lord Chaitanya said you should take it up to the neck. Lord Chaitanya would feed everyone up to the neck. Right? This is just Jagannath Puri. It's not every day. Prabhupada said the first 6 months in ISKCON, you eat so much, you waddle like a duck. I did it for about 9 months. Eat so much and just like, eat so much. But then eventually you have to control your senses. Right? You can't go like that forever in devotional service. Yeah? There has to be regulation. But in Jagannath Puri, you have to honor the Lord's prasad. That is the methodology of purification. So then in Mayapur, it is Nam Sankirtan. In Puri, it is prasad. And then in Vrindavan, it is the Braj Raj. Braj Raj means the dust of Vrindavan. So Akrura, he shows us when you go to Vrindavan, how do you get purified? Right? By getting into the dust of Vrindavan. Falling down and rolling in the dust. Now what does that mean? Right? Rupa Goswami says in the Mathura Dham Mahatmya, he says the way to enter the holy Dham is through prayer. Right? So when you're in the dust, you pray. Right? And that's how you enter into Vrindavan. It is by prayer. So you get into the dust, and that dust is purifying. Right? Every piece of dust, every particle of dust in Vrindavan has been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and Radha and Nanda Maharaj and all of the residents of Vrindavan. So just by touching that dust, you get purified. And Vrindavan, right, Braj, the area, it always has a dusty, like in the distance, wherever you look in any place, there's always like a dusty kind of, because all the dust is always rising. And just by touching that dust, you get purified. I remember in 1994, we did Braj Mandal Parikram. So for 30 days, we walked around the 12 forests of Braj, about 300 or 400 kilometers, barefoot, about 100 devotees. They do every year. Now, it's about 1,000 devotees, I think, go every year. But when I did it, it was only about 100 devotees, so it was quite nice. So we walked around for a month, and you know, we're in the dust constantly. And the dust was all over us. You know, and I thought at one point in time, because we were taking bath in the morning in the kunds, you know, it was dark, we'd get up, it was like 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning, and then we'd go to one of the kunds. You know, there'd be a kund close by, Tapasya Kund or something, out in Badranath or wherever we were, we take bath in the kunds. So we get up in the morning, we take bath. And then there's so much dust on us, just by travelling around Vrindavan. And after about 2 weeks of on the parikram, I thought my, because we're walking barefoot, I thought the top of my foot was getting suntanned. It was just all the dust. It was just like, was baking on, caking on. Then one day I rubbed it and it started coming off. I thought, oh, there's so much dust on me. And then at the end of the month, I got back to Melbourne and I was cleaning my ears, right? And there's just dust coming out. Like, just got into every pore of the body, just like everywhere. It was just there. So this purifies us. Yeah? So it means that when we go to Vrindavan, we have to pray. So what did Akrura do? Right? As soon as he got to Vrindavan, he got off the chariot, he rolled in the dust, and he began to offer prayers. Now, Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto, there are nine processes of bhakti. Right? Now, the process of bhakti, which is called Vandanam. Vandanam means prayers, offering prayers. So who is famous for offering prayers? Right? It is Akrura. He is said to be the one who became perfect by offering prayers. So in the pastime where he goes to Vrindavan, then he falls off the chariot and he offers prayers. And he shows us how to become perfect by offering prayers. Prayers is a integral item of bhakti. And it is one of the nine parts of devotional service. And in many of the other traditions around the world, the spiritual religious traditions, it's actually considered to be, you know, in our tradition, because we have nine types of bhakti, in our tradition, Shravanam and Kirtanam, and then Smaranam are given the most emphasis out of the nine. But in other traditions, Christianity, it's actually Vandanam. That's the main item of bhakti. You know, when the Christians do devotion, when they do bhakti, it's prayer. That's the main thing they emphasize in their practice. Whereas for us, it is Shravanam, Kirtanam. But prayer is an integral part of our day. And devotees have to learn to pray to the deities, or to the holy Dham, or to Tulsi Devi, or to the Vaishnavas, or to the Guru, or to the... So we offer prayers all day. We get up in the morning and we pray to the Guru. Samsara Dava Nalanida Loka. Prahlad Nandaswami points this out. We always say, in the morning we chant the samsara prayers. Right? But we're not chanting the samsara prayers. We're not praying for samsara. You know, we're not praying to the Guru, let me take birth again and again and again in the material world. Right? It is Guru Vashtika. But there are prayers to the Guru. So we're meditating. Right? The first prayer is that you are the personification of mercy. You are like a rain cloud, right, who is giving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Right? And then, you know, you are the person who chants the holy name in ecstasy. You're the person who teaches us to worship the deity. You're the person who teaches us how to honor prasad. You're the person who teaches us how to enter into Vrindavan, right? Right. So we offer these different prayers. So when we're offering the prayers, we have to know what the meaning of the words are. Right? You make advancement in Krishna consciousness when you understand what you're saying. Right? Sometimes we go for years, we don't even know what we're saying. Samsara davana lalita loka. We've done 1,000 times, we don't even know what we're singing. What is samsara? It's birth and death. What is davana? It's a forest fire. Lita loka. Loka means all the people in the universe. All of us are in this forest fire of birth and death. Right? But some of us don't even know what we're saying. We've been doing it for years. So we have to learn what the prayers are. And Prabhupada actually said one time, if there's one prayer in ISKCON, you have to learn perfectly which one is it. We have to learn them all perfectly, but he actually pointed one out one time. He said the Nisringha prayer. Right? He said, learn that perfectly. Right? Namaste Nadashringhaya Pradhanavadadayini. Understand what you're saying on that prayer. Because that prayer is very important. We do that every day in ISKCON. Because Nisringadev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, he clears the obstacles in bhakti so that we can reach Radha and Krishna, which are our goal. He points this out in Navadvip Dharmahatmya. Because in Navadvip, if you go across to Godrumdvip on the other side of the river, there's a place called Nisringapali. And if you go to that place, there's a Nisringadev deity, and that deity is millions of years old. Right? And when you pray, it's extremely powerful, that deity. Extremely powerful. And when we go to Nisringadev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, why do we pray to Nisringadev? In our tradition, we pray to Nisringadev to remove the obstacles so that we can reach Radha and Krishna. So, prayers are extremely important, but we have to learn what we're praying. Right? If we don't learn what we're praying, then what's the point of doing the prayers? Otherwise, we're just like parrots. Right? And we just repeat. We get up every morning. Sri Guru Charana Padma. We don't even know what that is. Sri Guru, the Guru. Charana, his feet. Padma are like lotus. So we have to understand what we're praying and what the meaning is behind everything. Then it becomes effective. So Akrura, he became famous for offering his prayers. So his prayers, you can read them in the Bhagavatam. If you read the 10th canto and you see the prayers of Akrura, you can see the mood in which he prayed. And Prabhupada would point this out. Whenever we go before the deities, you can pray for whatever you want. And you can recite your own prayers. You can make up your own prayers like that. But Prabhupada said that we have to learn the prayers of the previous acharyas. And we have to understand the mood in which they are praying. And if you study, I'm just looking here at the Nectar of Devotion, if you go into the 64 items of bhakti, one of the items of bhakti is submission, right? Where Prabhupada speaks about prayer. And then he lists different types of prayer. Right? And Prabhupada says, I won't elaborate on it now because we just don't have time. But Prabhupada says, it is said here that those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in the following three ways. Sampratanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. Danya, votika, humbly submitting oneself. And lala samayi, desiring some perfectional stage. So there are different types of prayers which we offer, different moods in which we offer the prayer. So we have to learn prayers by the previous acharyas. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, they've written many prayers in these three moods. And we have to learn these prayers. Right? And when we come before the deity, then we offer these particular prayers and we try to understand what it is that we're praying. And by, just like I was giving the example the other day at the farm on the Sunday feast class, when you're riding your bike down the freeway sometimes, a truck goes past. And the truck has a tailwind. And Prabhupada uses this word dovetail. Dovetail means to go follow the leader kind of thing. Or I heard recently, you know, the ducks, they always fly in V formation, right? Interesting. You know, they always fly like that. Why do they fly like that? Because they use something like, I saw the figure, I can't remember exactly, but something like 78% less energy by flying in that formation. One guy goes out the front, he's the one who's working, right? And the others, they go in the tailwind because it's like a vortex which is created. Right, so they use 78% or something less energy by flying like that. When the guy at the front gets tired, he drops out, comes around the back, and someone else takes over. It's a team, right? So that's how we make advancement in spiritual life. You read the prayers of the previous acharyas. They're leading, they're strong, right? And they're showing us the mood in which to get to Krishna, and we just follow in that. We dovetail, right? And we follow the leader. And that's how we understand. If we understand their prayers, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. We offer so many prayers. Like when we bow down before the deities, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindabhaneshwari, Vrishabhano Sute Devi, Prana. What does it mean? Right? Learn the prayer. Understand what it means and enter the mood of the prayer. When we pray to the Guru before we give class, Umagyan Timurandasya, Ginunjana Shalakaya. Right? Understand what that means. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtan. That's how we advance. So we are offering prayers all day. But we have to understand what is the mood of the prayer, and that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in spiritual life, Rupa Goswami says it all begins with Ado, Guru, Pada Shraya. We need gurus. Right? Because the spiritual master teaches you the mood in doing the service. Right? How to do the service, that's easy. Right? Learn to sweep the temple floor. Anyone can sweep the temple floor, that's not hard. But what is the mood in sweeping the temple floor? Right? The mood is do it perfectly. Right? Don't miss anything. Right? So go and run your finger around like the bottom of Prabhupada's book stand. See if there's any dust on it. Right? If you're cleaning the temple room, clean everything properly. Even in the past, Korma Prabhu, I never saw it, but Atul told me in the past, after the person would clean the temple room, then he would come in with a white glove. Right? And with the white glove, he'd run his finger around. He'd go around and start running his finger, seeing, is everything clean properly? So that is the mood in serving. Anyone can sweep the floor, but do it properly. Right? That is the mood of the spiritual master. He does it properly. If you look at the Gundicha Marjana pastime, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, all of us, including me, right, we're going into this temple and cleaning it. And Lord Chaitanya said, we will have a competition. Right? And whoever gets the least dust, right, whoever brings out the smallest pile, he has to sponsor a feast for all the other devotees. Right? So they all went in, they started cleaning, and who had the biggest pile? Lord Chaitanya. And his pile was bigger than all the other piles put together. Why? Because he has the most love for Krishna. Right? And he is our guru. Right? And he teaches us how to serve Krishna. Right? Don't take shortcuts. Right? Don't lose attention to detail. Bhakti is all about attention to detail. That's bhakti. Anyone can do the service. But do you do it the best? That's the point. Do you give it your best when you cook the offering? And you see sometimes, like, when you make the garlands, you see anyone can make a garland. It's that some of the garlands are beautiful. Because it's very, and you saw the jewelan last night. I've never seen a jewelan like that last night. And that was the most amazing jewelan I've ever seen. Here. The most amazing. You know, those elephants were amazing. And they were flapping as the, as the swim was going on. And then they had the... what is it called?
Chandelier.
Yeah, the chandelier. Flower chandelier. Right, different size flowers going up in like a spiral. And then that was rotating simultaneously. It was like the swing was going, the flowers were like... And I was just like... Yeah, it starts to give you an idea of what the spiritual world is actually like. Because when we get back to the spiritual world, that's when our mind will start getting blown. Because the gopis are doing things up there, we haven't even seen them yet. You'll get back there and you'll go, Jula Nyatra in the spiritual world just goes on to this other dimension. Like I was speaking in the class yesterday. Then Radha and Krishna get on the swing, and the swing is like a huge lotus flower. So Radha and Krishna are opposite each other. And then the eight principal gopis are sitting on the eight petals around. And, the swing is swinging and it's going around. It's like, it's doing all sorts of things. It's swinging in the spiritual world. And then one of the gopis says to Krishna, why don't we have a rasa dance here on the swing? And Krishna says, well, it's not big enough. Right? And then they say to Krishna, you can do anything. So then Krishna, by his desire, suddenly the swing expands. And then they start having rasa lila while the swing's going... is a spiritual world. I mean, imagine if we saw that. I mean, I was blown away last night. Imagine what's taking place in the spiritual world. So the whole spiritual world is operating on one principle: attention to detail, because that's what bhakti is about. When you do bhakti, you want to do it better and better and better, and you never feel as a devotee that we've done good enough, right? And that's what humility is, right? And Sanatana Goswami says that bhakti and humility are the same. Because no matter what we do, it's never good enough for Krishna. Right? We never feel, oh, I did the best, I cooked the best offering. I never feel I made the best garland. No, it can always be better. Right? Like last night, we'd seen so many jewelins, but then last night I thought, well, what are they going to do next year? How will they top this? But they'll top it. Because bhakti always expands. That's the nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And Prabhupada was always pushing the devotees, do more, do more, do more. Right? They would read Prabhupada, the annual report for book distribution, 1976. Devotees distributed millions of books. Prabhupada said, double it. That's all he said. They read the whole report. It took 2 hours to read the report. Right? Read the whole report to Prabhupada. Right? Millions of books. And the grand total is, millions of books. Prabhupada said, double it. That's it. That's Prabhupada. Right? It has to be better for Krishna. Did you do good enough yet? No. Can you do better? Yes. Then double it. So then make it better, make it better, make it better for Krishna. That's the mood of bhakti. So that's how we learn. When we pray, we're learning to pray in this mood. I can do better for Krishna. I can be more sincere. And by studying the prayers of the previous acharyas, then we understand what is bhakti. And by imbibing their mood, we advance in Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
Would you like to tell us when Mahaprabhu got his second initiation from Keshav Bharti, how he was dancing and chanting all the time? The people were thinking that he's sick, that ecstasy, like Akuraj doing ecstasy after seeing the dust of the lotus feet.
Yeah, when he got the first initiation from Ishwara Puri in Gaya, then he became mad. He became intoxicated in love with God. And then he came back the next morning and he said, what is the mantra you gave me? He said, because now I'm crying, my tongue won't stop chanting the mantra. you know, tears won't stop coming from my eyes, the hairs won't stop standing on end on my body. He said, what did you give me? He said, I became mad at that sin. So that's how we should be chanting. When we chant, the tears should just well up in the eyes, the hair should stand on end. Romancha kampasru taranga bhaju, like that. Then we know that we are perfect in Krishna consciousness. We know that we've attained sadhya, or perfection. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.